You're not destined for failure. You're not destined for hurt or trauma. You're destined for greatness. You're destined for liberation and salvation. Walk into your destiny with that courage, with that bravery, with that fearlessness, with that level of feeling everything, because you won't be done feeling. There's still more to feel, even as you rise, even as you climb, even as you ascend to the highest chakras in the body. There's still more to feel, because you then begin to feel more things outside of yourself as well. You begin to feel the collective karma and trauma experience as well. And so then you begin to really know who you truly are.
Hi, I'm Derek Mills. Welcome to the Glow Podcast. In this episode of the Glow Podcast, Rachel Autumn welcomes Londrell, a poet, author, and musician whose work is inspired by Eastern philosophy. One of Londrell's books is titled Self-Care Package, Healing Through the Chakras. Rachel takes that as an inspiration to use the chakras as thematic signposts to structure the journey of this conversation. And as they move from the themes of the first to the seventh chakra, Rachel and Londrell talk about blending art and spirituality, how setbacks help people grow, and parenthood as a source of joy. I hope you enjoy this inspiring conversation between Rachel and Londrell.
Londrell is a visionary artist, poet, and author whose profound words and creations inspire and uplift audiences worldwide. Drawing from the rich traditions of Eastern philosophy and Vedic literature, he infuses his artistry with wisdom and insights that resonate with seekers of truth and spiritual growth. As an independent artist, Londrell has released 8 studio albums, each a testament to his creative vision and heartfelt expression. Among his most celebrated works is Stay Free, a masterpiece that has touched the lives of many with its soul-stirring melodies and empowering lyrics. He is also the author of 3 books, including Sunflower Soul, Eternal Sunshine, and Self-Care Package, Healing Through the Chakras. Despite his growing acclaim, Londrell remains grounded in his mission to uplift and inspire. His art and offerings are not just about entertainment, but are deeply rooted in his desire to serve and alleviate suffering from the hearts and minds of all souls. Through his poetry, books, and teachings, Londrell continues to spread love, healing, and hope, leaving an undeniable mark on those who encounter his work. Londrell, I want to start by acknowledging the light that is you, the miracle that is you in this moment. I have been a fan of your work for the past 4 or 5 years. I actually first, I think I heard one of your songs in a yoga asana class and for sure like Shazammed it on my watch on the side. It was like, I'm going to have to table this and get back to this later and discover who this artist was. And I teach asana classes as well. And I don't think it's very rare that one of your songs is not in the playlist. So
yeah, give thanks.
I just want to thank you for being a part of the soundtrack of my healing and the ways that I share support with others and community, and for all of the support you've extended to so many through your artistry and your truthfulness. So thank you so much for being here. Yeah.
Thank you. Let me first say by saying that introduction, that bio, that was pure poetry. And to a poet, that's like to a poet, that was poetry. I need that. Aww. I need that bio. That bio was written to perfection. Aww. I love it.
Not just because it's me,
but because it was written to perfection. Like I know what parts are written in my own bio, but I know what parts are enhanced, and I know what parts are given a little bit of celebration too. So I appreciate that.
Yeah,
that
was love. Definitely celebrate you, and I'd be happy to share it with you. It would be my honor. Just again, you have been such a remarkable part of my journey and my healing, and your vulnerability has given me permission to feel more vulnerable and safe to share my story and my purpose with others through seasons of my life where I didn't necessarily feel empowered to do so. So thank you for sharing this space. God bless you.
Yes, many blessings.
I'm so happy to be here with you. I want to get into just like your essence. I would love to introduce our audience to who you are as a soul. I definitely will be referencing your music and your poetry and your affirmations today, just because they're a beautiful medium and access to what your gift is and how you share it with others. But just getting to know you beyond what you do and like what all of your amazing accomplishments, which we honor and celebrate, you have this poem that I love. It's called Tranquility. And in it, you talk about if you wish you could take a selfie of your soul, is what you say in it. And that I was like bars when I read that.
Yeah.
I know we're ever evolving, but if you could just paint us a picture of what a selfie of your soul would look like in this moment.
Man, that was so long ago. But how it resonates right here and right now, it's just wishing that I can perceive myself as I truly am, you know, because sometimes in life we have like so many different layers that we put on, that we lose, sight of who we truly are, that we lose awareness of who we truly are. We put on these titles and these roles and these designations, like I'm an artist and I'm a great artist, but I wish I can just see myself for who I am truly. And so I guess that was the, well, I know that that is the essence of that line, is just wanting to perceive myself and see myself as I really am, you know, see myself truly as God sees me. If anything else, just really see myself as God sees me, with that level of unconditional love, despite, you know, what I may call my brokenness, or despite what I may call my hurt and agony and trauma, but seeing myself with the unconditional love of the eyes of God. And so wanting to take a selfie of my soul is just, you know, maybe not. It's really a dumbed down expression of wanting to experience and see myself as God sees me. But now that I have that language, before I didn't have that language. And so, but now as I reflect on that line, I know what it truly means to my heart and my soul in this moment in time and space. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I don't want to use the word easy, but was it an accessible path for you to arrive at this vision of seeing yourself through God's eyes and through God's love?
It was a path of surrender. It wasn't so much effort on my end of trying to arrive here as I am. It was more, the effort is in surrender for me. Mm. You know, the effort is in just letting go and letting God. And I found the greatest joy. I found the greatest success. I found the greatest love in my wife and my daughter. I found the greatest of everything just by letting go and letting God. And so that is my arrival, is learning more and more how to let go and how to let God, because it's easier that way. It's way easier. Yeah. It's way easier. But if you're in your mind a lot, it can be very difficult. Yes. But if you're in your heart about it, you can never go the wrong way. You can never feel like, okay, this is such a burden, or this is so difficult. Mm-hmm. Although there will be moments of that, but you return back to the heart, and you return back to your own personal mantra and your own personal relationship that you have with God. And it becomes so evident in the experience that, you know, God is there and God is here. And so it's just learning to lean in more and more to surrender. Mm-hmm. You know, I think That is the reason that I have arrived here and now as I am. You know, no other reason. I've studied a lot. I've read a lot. I don't remember what I studied. I don't remember what I read half of the time. But I do know that I arrive in this way all the time. It's just because I'm living in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to study about it. I'm not trying to read about it, although I do. That's not my goal. My goal is to live that, to embody that, and to surrender to the teaching that is within me. Because I truly believe that our lives are that teaching. And as we begin to just analyze, and not really analyze, not overanalyze, but analyze our lives and see our lives, we can see, okay, where we are out of alignment with God at. And then we bring ourselves into alignment in those areas. And then we just become better and better human beings, people, and we're able to all arrive.
Thank you. Your book, Self-Care Package, is exactly everything that you're saying. And it's been, when did this book come out? How many years ago has it been? Like maybe 2 years?
I believe 2021.
Okay.
Yeah, my wife encouraged me to write this book over the, shout out my wife.
Shout out.
She encouraged me to write this book after I had recorded the project. I did the project just before COVID. And that's what I say about surrender. Like before COVID, I had a whole album that was COVID ready, you know, ready to drop. And as soon as COVID hit, there was the meditation, but also the stillness, but also the vibes that we're still seeking in a party setting. And so it was everything that everyone needed during that time. And so I'm so grateful. I released Stay Free and Self-Care Package just 2 months before COVID. So all in the same year, which I really rarely do, is release two albums in 1 year.
Yeah.
And so the spirit just moved me to release. I had the inspiration, I had the time, and just I had the creativity to really just go in the studio and go within myself to create the art that is now Stay Free and Self-Care Package.
Such a blessing. I bring it up because of what you were just sharing about. Essentially, it's what you say in the back of your book, and you say it throughout the book, is the practice is the goal.
Right,
and
yeah.
It's everything that you were just talking about of surrender and letting go, letting God. And we say that, but it's so hard sometimes to embody that. And it's really expansive and empowering to see someone walking in that embodiment, because you can see it's like, it's a life of like simplicity and grace. But you also share your story so freely, like in Stay Free, you talk about some traumas that you've experienced in your childhood, and you've sprinkled in a lot of stories from childhood in your artistry and in your work. And so again, it's so relatable to meet you as a fan, as a listener, and now to have this opportunity to share space with you on this side of things, because you get to see the journey unfold through a life, through the lifespan, and through all of the iterations of self that you've grown through, and each one neither of them being more valuable than the last, but just honoring your journey. When you say the practice is the goal, though, do you allow that to your practice to evolve as you evolve, or do you find that your practice has to be like pretty disciplined and the same so that you can find that kind of like a baseline to measure yourself against day to day by keeping the same practice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in terms of the practice, no, I think my practice does change over the years, or just throughout the days. Even since I wrote this book, my practices were a lot more lengthy than they are now. And I perhaps do not do all the practices that I used to do 2 years ago, 3 years ago. One, I don't have the time. The time being a father, being a new father, being a new parent, that time, that 2-3 hours that I used to have to really go in on the practice is different. But I think in our lives, the practice will always change to some degree, because our lives are changing to some degree. And we're not always, you know, it's tools that we use. And so it's just using the tools that you have. That is the goal, you know, because sometimes we use the tool and we want the result, or we want the reward, or sometimes we do the practice for the reward. But the practice is the reward. I think that is what it really truly comes down to. Whatever practice that we're having, that is the reward. You know, that is the attainment. That is the blessing, because it is through the practice of the practice that we receive the blessing of everything that we're seeking. And it happens on very micro levels. It doesn't happen on very large scale levels. There's no miracle that is going to happen. The miracles are very small. And paying attention to the practice really opens us up to the mini miracles, if we can call it, the mini miracles that show up just in the breath, and as we move from one asana to the next, or as we hold a meditation for even 1 minute, you know, it's being a witness and a watcher to the life journey. You know, I was just on Instagram Live, and I was just talking about just some new music that I have coming out, and as related to Nipsey Hussle and his movement of the marathon. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, that's the same moniker, that's the same mantra. Like, the marathon is like, you know, we don't have no destination. We just have a path. We just have a journey, and we're just going and going and going. And for me, the practice is the goal is the same of the same nature. It's like embed yourself in the practice, and wherever you get, you'll get there, you know, through the practice, you know, through the practice and not through the seeking after results and rewards.
Absolutely. And thank you for sharing that. I have to go back and watch this Instagram live.
I deleted it.
Oh, no. You had to be there.
You have to be present.
You got to be. Yeah. Well, I get to be present with you here. So that feels nourishing enough. But we are at the anniversary of when we're recording this, the anniversary of Nipsey Hussle's transition. So thank you for bringing him up. And the marathon continues. As you say, all love. Thinking of him and just thinking of, I kind of want to journey through the chakras in conversation with you, like let it flow. I want to almost offer like a teaser to self-care package, which is again, an album and a book. And the book is not necessarily steeped in like the history and the philosophy of the chakras, but it's more so rooted in practices that help you restore and find balance in the seven main energy centers. And you take us from root to crown. And so I would love this conversation to continue to just flow, but kind of like lifting it up from root to crown. And so when I'm thinking about the root chakra, this is our most grounded, our most physical experience in our bodies and in our humanity. And sometimes in our bodies and in our humanity is extreme chaos and trauma and violence and all, you know, all these things, and also beauty and expansion and creativity and love.
Yeah.
What has been your journey of finding peace in chaos? How do you find peace within chaos?
Really, I just allow myself to be present. Like I don't try to force the situation to be anything other than what it is. I don't try to think myself out of the situation or feel myself out of the situation. The first thing that I do, and this relates to the root chakra, is I allow myself to be with it, you know, to be in my I am-ness with whatever that is. And so it's bringing presence to the current situation. It's knowing that I cannot push this away. You know, I cannot wish this away. I cannot even pray this away in this moment. And what I must do, only thing that I can do in this moment is allow this moment to be this moment. And as I have arrived in life with whatever I'm facing, you know, I know that there's a power that comes with me. There's a peace that comes with me. There's a there's something behind me, an energy behind me, God, for lack of a better word. But there is a presence behind me that has already sanctioned this moment, that is already destined this moment. And who am I not to rise to the occasion and speak to this moment as I am, you know, and be present in this moment as I am. And of course that comes through, I mean, that comes with different levels of just knowing who you are. That's why the greatest rule is to know yourself. But it comes through different degrees of knowing who you are. But as you grow to know who you are, you begin to affirm that even in the midst of adversity, you know, even in the midst of turmoil or trauma or whatever you're facing, you know, is knowing that my presence is peace, you know, because my presence is sanctioned. My presence is ordained. You know, my presence is my destiny. And so I'm not choosing it. Mm-hmm. I'm not choosing it because nobody chose to wake up today. Mm-hmm. You know, we all got up, but nobody chose to wake up. And so there was something, some intelligence that is saying, okay, you get to wake up today, you know, you get to see another day. And so with that, you know, it's just being thankful and grateful first and foremost. And then it's just rising to the occasion, knowing that, you know, life has chosen me. So who am I not to choose my life back and affirm everything that I want to experience?
Thank you for sharing that. Thank you so much. I have all of your books in front of me.
I give thanks.
I just as a true fan, and you're one of my like most honored like teachers here right now. And so thank you for being with me on my journey. There was something that I read that really stuck out to me, and it's Eternal Sunshine. And I know that when you're writing this, I'm sure you are in like a flow state, which is one of your songs. And so I don't expect you to like remember writing this or what your intention was at the time, but I just want to share this. And if it brings up any new visions, you're welcome to share. But you mentioned in Eternal Sunshine that during tough times, our focus should not be to remove challenges from our life, but to explore ways to maximize our misfortune. And I think you were just speaking to that line specifically. But in maximizing our misfortune, I want to ask you, since I have the author here, are you speaking to maximizing the opportunity for growth within the misfortune? Or I just wanted some clarity on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Maximizing the opportunity for the growth, because the opportunity has presented itself, not because you are lacking in anything, but because you have not realized something in within yourself. And so when misfortune comes, it tends to show our darker sides more than it does our brighter sides. Mm. And so we begin to focus on the dark. But there is, for every ceiling, there is a floor. So as we meet ourselves at the floor, where we're hit rock bottom is what sometimes we use. And so there's a ceiling to this. There's a space in between. There's so much potential in between where I am and where I can be. If I could just transmute that energy of lack into an energy and an awareness of abundance, I can summon a greater version of myself to rise to the occasion.
Shifting
just in knowing, that, okay, I quote unquote failed, or I didn't complete this task. There are so many lessons to be learned in between there. There are so many things that you can say, I could have did that better. That didn't work, but okay, that's just one thing I can mark off that doesn't work. You know, or when something misfortunate happens, it's knowing that, okay, I've broken that karmic bond. I've untied that tether. I'm free from that, you know? And so I'm a very optimistic person, I guess, obviously. Sometimes it's obvious that I'm a very optimistic person, but I'm always looking to be better, to see better, to think better, to speak better. I'm always encouraging myself to be better. And so even when misfortune happens, I know that it's an opportunity to be better.
And there's
always so many opportunities, even throughout the day, even throughout our successes, to be better. You know, in each and every moment, in each and every conversation, there is an opportunity to be better, to be a bit more gentle, to be a bit more kind, to be more bit more loving. Because in those little steps, you know, we bring love with us. And so we bring that intelligence with us. And so when we meet a situation, we can bring everything that we've experienced with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This brings to mind, I know that I believe it was in 2014, and Mike Brown, is that the right year? 2014, after the murder of Michael Brown. And this just brings up to me, knowing that part of your story, if you wouldn't mind sharing some of it here, as far as like rising to the occasion of just pain and misfortune, and what it is that you created during that time.
Yeah, thank you for allowing me to reflect. So this was 2014, in the midst of several, not only Michael Brown, but also Tamir Rice, and I believe Sandra Bland as well, all around the same time. It was like, and so many more brothers and sisters who have lost their lives to police brutality. But this occasion, it was in reference to the life of Michael Brown. And so during this time, I just noticed on social media, a lot of people were saying a lot of things, but I didn't see anybody doing anything to help the families or help solve the problem or help to bring true awareness to the situation. And so for me during the time, I used to use running as a coping mechanism to deal with my own problems, to raise my awareness in my own life, to see what could I do to make myself better. And so while I was running, I got this idea to run from this crazy idea to run from Atlanta, Georgia to St. Louis, Missouri, with the intention to bring awareness to the case of Michael Brown, because I felt like it had been, this was during maybe September, October. This was during October. The tragic event happened in August. So in between August and October, there was just a dying down of the awareness, the outrage, the just, it's like, okay, there's somebody else who's died. We just pass it along. You know, it's like desensitized. And so I wanted to do something to keep up that awareness. And so I devised a plan, a scheme to run from Atlanta to Ferguson to raise funds, not only to raise awareness, but to raise funds for the families, because it was the least that I could do. And so it took me and a partner, me and my friend, me and my brother, Ray Mills, 21 days, I do believe, to run the 680-mile trek from Atlanta to Ferguson to help raise funds and awareness for the families of police brutality. And in that journey, I think we raised about $80,000 that we would be able to disperse to the families, to Michael Brown's family, as well as to our campaign to be able to do host protests in New York City, Times Square, Los Angeles, Miami, and Atlanta. We hosted runs during that season to help raise awareness, continued awareness, because it didn't end with Michael Brown. It hasn't ended with Michael Brown. And so, that season of my life, when that journey of my life taught me about a whole lot about self-surrender and self-sacrifice and going beyond your own personal means to do something that you can do through your own inspiration, you know?
It reminds me of the root space, because you're showing up physically in your body physically standing up for something for a person who's not able to stand up for themselves, and amidst your own journey and trials as well. So I just wanted to highlight that here, because it's really special, and it was a really powerful teaching for me as far as advocacy. And you share one of your books that our shared true purpose is service. And so to see you demonstrate that in that way, and so many other expressions since, has been a gift.
Yeah, because sometimes we think we don't have the means to do anything about anything, but anything that we can do for anything that we can do it about, we can do something, you know, whether it's running or writing letters or whatever you choose to do, whatever you can do it in service. You can do it in hopes of making this world a better place. You know, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You can do it to make this world a better place.
100%. 100%. And that helps us arrive into the sacral space. This is our creativity hub, our emotional center. One of my other teachers, her name is Milana Snow. She shares that the sacral space is what does she say? She says that it's a place where we birth babies, books, and businesses. It's like our creative womb. We all have that creative womb, and you created so many different pillars within your life, your business, your expressions to share your authenticity with the world. And that is all sacral. And throat energy, we'll get to the throat, but that sacral space has access to writing and words always been available to you? Was that always your tool for expressing yourself, your tool of choice? Is that something that you developed with intention over time?
I think it's something that has been developed. When I was a child, I was very quiet and introverted. Didn't really speak a lot, so it wasn't much self-expression. But I always had these songs going on in my head. I always had a song going on in my heart. So music is my best way of expressing myself. You know, I can express myself best through the form of music and writing as well. And so it is my it has been and it will always be my way of communicating with the world, you know. And so I've always had a special connection to writing and to speaking to music in that way that allows me to speak from a place of my most confident self, a place of my highest self, a place of my wisest self. And so but it's been something that I've had to nurture, of course, and sharpen over the years.
Yes. And this being like our emotional center as well, you actually have a song called It's Okay to Cry. And it's so beautiful to see and hear a Black man saying it's okay to cry, because there's just so much hyper-masculinity and culture that smothers and stifles the emotions to be expressed by boys and men, especially men of color. Can you speak to, or just any advice for those who might have been taught to suppress their emotions, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, don't feel safe expressing themselves? What you suggest maybe within this sacral space, whether it's a practice or something that you'd suggest to start to open up emotional access and emotional intelligence?
Beautiful question. I think I go back to my mantra, especially with the album, is allowing yourself to feel. You know, that's how you self-heal. You know, feeling is the answer. Allowing yourself, sometimes we want to just get rid of the emotion, get rid of the feeling, and so we suppress it. We don't know how to deal with it. But I find like the best way to deal with anything is to allow yourself to be present with it and allow yourself to feel it. If you can feel it, you can heal it. It's not necessarily you that heals it. It's your intelligence, your awareness, the light of your awareness shining on the darkness that brings in the awareness to know how to deal with that darkness in an uplifting way. And so the best thing that we can do about, you know, dark feelings and dark emotions that we don't want to feel, but we have to face, is to allow ourselves to feel it. And with that allowance will come an intelligence that will allow you to dissolve that. You know, anywhere light is present, darkness will dissolve. You know, the darkness of fear, the darkness of depression, the darkness of trauma, the darkness of anxiety stands not a chance in the face of light, the light of your awareness. And shining the light of your awareness will give you the necessary intelligence. It will bring to you, attract to you, the necessary people, practices, and tools are necessary for you to work through in the best way that you can work through whatever you need to work through. And so there are so many different modalities to heal. There's so many different books and so many different podcasts and so many different tools, but simply feeling opens the channel up for us to be connected with those things. The more we suppress those things, the more we also suppress the solution to those things, or the balm or the solvent for those things. But as we allow ourselves to address those things, open up and become aware of those things, with that comes an intelligence that will allow us to move through and navigate those things. And so to my brothers and to my sisters and to anyone struggling to deal with hard emotions, tough emotions, and they feel like, okay, this burden is all on me. It's not all on you. You know, it's not all on you. It was never yours to bear. It's just allowing yourself to breathe into it, allowing yourself to feel into it. And as you feel into it, you heal into it, because you are the power that heals. You are the power that enlivens. You are the power that enlightens. You are the part, you are the light that gathers yourself and brings yourself back home to you. Mm-hmm. And so it's just being aware of those things and allowing yourself to feel. And like I said, with that will come an intelligence that allows you to heal as well.
Yes. And you were talking about this power that we all hold.
Yeah.
When I think about power, and I think about your meditation, that's honor yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that's the solar plexus meditation, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And friends, please check out all of his, everything will be linked at the end of this podcast and in the show notes. But this meditation specifically, I personally have very much connected with healing perfectionist like tendencies and people pleasing tendencies in my personal journey, honoring my true self and honoring my just my own personal expression has been a journey. And again, your work has been really supportive in that. Can you talk about confidence and like cultivating confidence and allowing us ourselves to take up space in the world? Like once we feel grounded, and safe in our body, safe in our surroundings, we are feeling to heal and we are expressing ourselves authentically through our own modalities, our own creativity. And we arrive in this solar plexus center. Mm-hmm. I'm wearing yellow today to access it. Where do you best suggest we hold and grow and cultivate our confidence?
The thing is really to, I believe it's honoring the journey that has led you to be the person that you are, you know, honoring your path, honoring your highs, honoring your lows, honoring yourself, honoring your story, you know, and as you honor your story, you naturally become confident because you own it. It's like, I have to own this story. The narrative has been written, but now I have the pen in my hand to help rewrite it. And so it's honoring everything that you experience and have experienced up until now. It's honoring the highs. Once again, it's honoring the journey. It's honoring the misfortune. It's honoring the success. It's honoring everything to the point you honor yourself and know that you are worthy. You know, you are worthy of overcoming those mountains that you have overcome before this. And you are worthy of overcoming every mountain after this. You know, life is peaks and valleys. Life is peaks and valleys, life is highs and lows, and there won't be a time that you will not be at the bottom of a mountain thinking, how do I get up to the top of that mountain? Mm-hmm. In fact, even in life, once like a mountain climber conquers a mountain, he goes out and finds another one. Mm-hmm. Because he's like, okay, I've climbed that mountain. There's another mountain taller than that. And we do that in life as well. Mm-hmm. We say, okay, I've conquered that level of myself, or I've done that thing. Let me reach higher, you know? And in that way, we are honoring ourselves. We are saying that I can be better, because not only does that setting that high goal call for you to bring out your best self, you know, it also calls for you to overcome your lowest self in the same breath. And so it's always one working on the other, your highest self working on your lower self, you know, and everything that you come up to in the solar plexus, you know, because the root chakra and the sacral chakra deal with a lot of traumas. But once you honor those things and know that those are my stepping stones into all that I am and to the realization of all that I am, if it were not for those traumas, if it were not for those misfortune, I would not come to myself in this way. Mm-hmm. I would not awaken to myself in this way. And so I honor those things. Mm-hmm. And with that honoring comes a greater intelligence that teaches you how to honor your life, that shows you how to honor, that shows you your blind spots and your voids so that you can pour light into those spaces. You know, you may be angry at your past and you may be fearful of your future. But as you honor yourself and honor the present moment, in the place of that fear comes courage. Because you have to move forward. You have to step forward. You know, it's like it's energy. It's not necessarily your thoughts and your feelings, your emotions. It's energy. And wherever energy goes, the energy flows. And so as you begin to honor all of that, it creates a tidal wave of energy that says, okay, we're going up. We're taking this energy upward and onward. We're not allowing the energy to continue to stay in the root. Mm-hmm. We're owning everything. We're claiming everything. And now we're not holding it as a burden, but we're holding it as a cross. If you want to say that for a lack of a better word, we're holding it as a cross. We're saying that I accept my life and everything it comes with. And I know I am meant to rise higher. Mm-hmm. And so honoring yourself is the first step. Honor yourself and honoring your journey is the first step in having that courage and having that bravery, because it doesn't come without the context of your life. Your life has made you brave, and your life will continue to make you even more braver, you know? And so it's we don't just arrive at confidence. We have to honor the journey. We have to honor the everything. And sometimes we can celebrate it. We don't have to celebrate it, but we do have to honor it. We do have to acknowledge that it exists and it is a part of my story.
Yes. You know? Yes. So with balancing our energy centers, and I'm speaking super like high level to this.
Yeah.
Obviously, this human experience is not always linear. It's gonna definitely have its ebbs and flows. But if we're thinking about sufficiency within this energy center, if someone is a little more like active, like more charged in their solar plexus, maybe it's a lot of ego driven. Maybe we're celebrating a little bit too much, not necessarily to humble oneself from a negative point of view. But what are your suggestions or tools for just like leveling yourself, keeping yourself grounded in that center?
Mm-hmm. Really, if we're talking at that level, is knowing yourself, knowing that you are not your achievements, knowing that you are not what you do, knowing that you are not what you attain, what you gain, what you lose, knowing that you are not any of these things. If we're going to speak on that level and we're going to have an ego, if we reach that level of believing ourselves to be all of these things, we have to know who we truly are, you know, because with that level of bravery and courage comes humility. You know, no one who is truly brave, you know, Christ on the cross wasn't truly brave without that level of humility, knowing that I am just a grain of sand on the ocean of time. You know, I am just a speck, you know, on the painter's canvas. And so it's knowing who you are, but really knowing who you are. Mm-hmm. Like, you can know who you are in your humanness, but you also have to know who you are in your divinity. And in your divinity, you are very humble, you know, because none is greater than the great beyond and none is greater than the Most High. And so it's always remembering that, remembering your true self, which is ever humble,
yes,
you know, which is ever humble. And as you humble yourself, that ego begins to dissolve, you know, because you realize that, you know, I'm blessed to have my life. I'm blessed to accomplish these things. I'm blessed to be able to have this courage and this bravery, because not everybody has it. I remember a time when I didn't have it, you know, so I'm blessed to have this. And it was a gift. It wasn't me. Something motivated me and inspired me to have this level of courage and fearlessness and bravado that I have. And though I have it, I'm still humble in it, because I know where it comes from. It doesn't come from me. It comes to where I'm trying to go, where I'm trying to ascend as I ascend through these chakras. Mm-hmm. You know, it comes from the top and pours down. And I'm so blessed to be on a path and a journey that opens me up to higher and higher and higher levels of myself.
Yes. You have a really beautiful song that just popped up into my head. All of them are beautiful, honestly. Yeah. I listen to your albums from cover to cover, and they just are just profound. But there's a song that you came out with, Layla Delia, who I also just love and admire deeply, called Vibrate Higher. And that's what you're talking about. This raising our vibration is what you guys, is what you talk about in the song. So as we arrive in that heart center, what is self-love to you? What does that mean to you?
Self-love is knowing the self first and foremost. And the self is none other than God. You know, it is none other than the presence of all that you are aware of and all that is aware of you. It is everything. You know, so loving yourself is not just this individual as loving myself is not just this individual as Lundrell, because as Lundrell, I'm not myself. I'm a fragment of myself. I'm a particle of myself. You know, I'm not my whole self and my full self. So loving myself is loving God. And as I return to that love teaches me how to love myself in all of my humanness. And it teaches me how to love everyone else in all of their humanness as well. So when I speak of self-love, I don't really talk about, you know, myself personally. I don't speak about the individual personally. I speak about the impersonal self that is within all people, you know, the everything and everything. And so the self is in everything and everyone. And so to love yourself is to love that which is in everything and everyone. And so it takes some work to do that. It takes some grace. It really doesn't take some work. It takes some grace, some devotion, some surrender, some trust, some humility to really know yourself and love yourself in that way.
Yes. Yes. How has your journey of like forgiveness been? And when we think about this heart center and loving ourselves and freeing ourselves from the pain that might've been imposed on us from others who were hurt, you know, hurt people, hurt people, they say. What has the journey of forgiveness looked like for you?
Forgiveness on the daily, You know, forgiveness on the daily, you know, forgiveness for myself for thinking the way that I think that brought me down or feeling the way that I feel that continued to keep me down. Forgiveness for, you know, my journey, forgiveness for my mother, forgiveness for the actions that I've taken against myself. And so for me, forgiveness is on the daily, you know, because I'm digging myself out of trenches. You know, I'm digging myself out of the grave. I'm resurrecting myself. And so forgiveness for me is on the daily. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't find anything to forgive myself for. Not that I hold myself, hold things against myself, but I just want to be better. And so with that forgiveness comes love and acceptance. And it opens the way for a new intelligence to flow through. So I'm always writing forgiveness prayers. I'm always writing forgiveness affirmations. I'm always breathing into forgiveness, whatever it is, you know, because I have this song called Great Depression. And in the song, I say my pain is my greatest lesson, but also my pain is my greatest blessing because it allows me to go deeper into dark spaces to bring more light out of those spaces. Mm-hmm. And the poet Rumi has a poem, a part of his poem, it says, it is through the cracks where the light enters. Mm. So I'm always finding spaces to forgive because I know that that is where the light and the love begins to flow into. Yes. Through the crevices of those things. And so as a spiritual scientist, a mystic of sorts, I'm always looking for the gaps and the shadows so that I can, you know, be aware and bring light into, bring love into.
Yes, you are for sure a master alchemist. That's my favorite book, The Alchemist. And you,
same.
You've alchemized so much and you give other people permission and tools to do it simply, to do it through, like you're saying, just like being the practice is the goal, like experience, even though you have this book full of wisdom and tools. And the tools include like asana shapes, postures that you could take, meditations, food that's nourishing for balancing that center, affirmations, all of these things. But at the end of the day, the common denominator is like honoring yourself and knowing yourself as you've expressed.
The connection that you have with the divine. Mm-hmm. Because I can read through this book. There's some things that I've forgotten. There's certain things that I don't practice, but I know where those things come from. Mm-hmm. And I know in the time and the season of my life that I needed those things, they come from the person that, or they come from God.
Right.
And so, it's not just sticking to a philosophy or a dogma or a practice. It's knowing where the practices come from. It's knowing where the philosophy and the science comes from, because that is the true source. Mm. And that is an overflowing source. Mm. Because the philosophy can only take us so far.
Yeah.
You know, the practices truly can only take us so far. But of course, the practice is the goal, but in the goal there is the practice as well, and in the practice there is the giver of the sadhana as well.
Mm, yeah, and Glow, I don't know if you've had time to check out the Glow app platform, but there's yoga, there's meditation, there's fitness, there's lots of different modalities, breath work classes that help us. And I just want to just share with folks when we talk about the practice, yes, like these things are all like individual tools that you can use, but correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm gathering that you mean like the practice is the goal, like the practice of your experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is the goal, not necessarily like the thing that you do on your mat for an hour. You're talking about the whole experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the practice itself as it relates to asana and breath work are the ingredients to the experience of our life, mm-hmm. but they are not the totality of it. We can use them to enrich our lives, to make them taste better, but that's not the practice of that is the goal. But sometimes in that practice, we are seeking rewards. We are seeking the goal just by doing the practice. We're not immersed in the practice. So a part of that is, it works two ways, because a part of it, it speaks directly to the practice. And then a part of that is speaking beyond the practice, knowing that life is that practice as well. And sometimes you won't have time to meditate. You know, you will have more pressing issues knocking on your door. And so then what do you turn to then? Because we don't want the practice itself to be a crutch to receiving the highest intelligence and wisdom in each and every moment, when we can't remember what that quote was, when we can't remember what that mudra was, when we lose complete awareness of our breath, where do we truly go? And so it's so many different layers and levels, but it's speaking first to the actual practice sadhana, because that's what the book speaks to. But if we want to take it a little bit further, it's knowing where those things come from, when we don't have the time to do all those things, when we don't have the space in our lives to even put down the mat, you know, or get on the mat, where do we turn? And so that practice right there, that's the goal.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so once we've arrived in this heart space, if we continue our little journey, I'm thinking of like Super Mario's like climbing up the ladder, the heart center is balanced. We arrive in this.
Kundalini rising.
Yeah. Kundalini rising.
Yeah.
We arrive at our throat center, and I would be remiss if I didn't let us really kind of land here for a second, because you use words as your alchemizers, as your tool, as your creativity.
Yeah.
And it's expressed in writing, in affirmations. You have a beautiful app called Eternal Sunshine that has eternal wisdom that gets sprinkled into my day daily. It's filled with affirmations, meditations, and more spiritual sound bites. Are you just like flowing with expression at all times? Do you ever feel stuck? Or like, what is going on in your throat center? Because it's such a gift that you have accessed this and used it as your medium of expression. I was reading comments on like several of your posts and like on SoundCloud, and just time and time again, I see folks just saying like, your words really are freeing to me. They remind me, they help me remember who I am. And you're sharing these amazing tools in a very grounded, accessible, digestible way. So what is that experience like? What is your creative experience like?
Beautiful. I think first and foremost, like I honor my voice. I truly honor my voice, and I honor like my gift of speaking. And further than that, I do honor like the ability to speak life. You know, I make it my point to speak life. And so with that comes the creativity, with that comes the life that you receive as I speak. You know, I make it my life's mission to not speak death in my life or in anyone's life, or to not speak ill over anyone, over myself or others. That's just what I told myself. That's just what I tell myself. You know, I speak life. And so from that, the creative channels open, because I'm willing to speak life, knowing that everything that comes out of my life, my mouth is of life. You know, it is not of death. And so with that comes the creativity. And as far as my creativity, like before I go into any creative writing, I sit down and I see where I am presently, if I'm facing fear or doubt or insecurity or negative spirits or anything that I'm dealing with, like emotionally. I speak to those things first. Like I have my journal here, and my throat chakra has been blocked in the past. And sometimes I'm constantly removing those blockages, but I sit with myself and I write, you know, let me be calm before I speak. Let me be kind before I speak. Let me breathe before I speak. Let me listen before I speak. Let me be brave before I speak. Let me be courageous before I speak. Let me be present. Let me feel, you know, let me honor my gift of speaking before I speak. And so I'm always doing the work on my voice, because I know my voice is my most powerful tool. And so I'm in the lab, like Jordan is in the gym, or LeBron is in the gym, or, you know, your favorite artist is doing what they do there in the booth. I'm in the gym, you know, I'm in myself, working on myself, chiseling this masterpiece of my life in whatever way that I can, using my words. And so before I create anything, I come back to my affirmations, I write affirmations. And then from that, I just allow the channel to be open. You know, and whatever happens after that, after I turn on the music, is all she wrote, you know, is all that's there. So it's really, because I know that's not me. Like, that's not me. I cannot possibly come up with those things and, you know, wear those things in those way, that way, to have that sort of potency and level of the way it lands. That's not me. You know, that's all God. That's all the divine. But what I can do, what is me, is doing the work to be able to receive that spirit, doing the work to be able to receive that type of medicine, and using the medicine on me first and then sharing it with the world. And so my creative process comes from like doing the deep inner work, and then the creativity just flows through those gaps, you know, through the cracks.
And thank you for being someone that speaks life in the hip hop genre, not to like put you in a box, because I think your work extends beyond genre, but it has, it's very inspired by hip hop.
Yeah, all genres. I'm inspired by all genres. And I think it's my mission to leave footprint in every genre that I feel inclined to, because people have different ears, but I can speak to the same truth in any genre. So I allow myself to explore. Last season, I was in the gospel. I released a gospel album entitled The Breath of Christ. It was the commands of Christ in a more poetic way, to acoustic guitars. And so in this season, I'm working on a project that is more of the hip hop sound, but it's still the same message, the same truth, the same essence, the same life.
Yes.
You know, so yeah.
But I appreciate it, because not all the time do we see hip hop artists expressing life and speaking life. There is a lot of, unfortunately, death being spoken over our communities. And I just want to thank you for being a pillar of light in that, within that expression, and multi-genre. I love it. We're busting the doors down on genres.
Yeah. Because there are going to be people that come behind me and us that need to know that, okay, I can feel this space, I can arrive in this space, and not just keep myself in this space. And so as much doors as we can open, we need to open those doors.
Yes.
You know, especially people who look like this.
Yeah.
We need to open those doors so that people behind us know that it's possible to walk through those doors as well. And so, yeah, being a visionary and being a pioneer is like, you know, take all the risk. You know, take all the risk and open all the doors. If you've been given the keys, open all the doors, you know.
Open all the doors.
Open all the doors that you can.
Oh, bust them open. Just kick them open. I love that. Okay. As we arrive in our higher energy centers, the last two, this is going to be our brow chakra, our third eye, and our crown center. And I think your mantras in your self-care album are know yourself and be yourself for the last two. I'm kind of bringing them together because I feel like it's very fluid in this etheric space. I love your song Morning Asana. I think that's from the Stay Free album. I love it. It's just, again, it's just so simple. It just sounds like, it feels like I am on my porch. I don't have a porch, but if I had a porch with the wind blowing and like a little bird right there with my hot tea, and I lay on my mat, and you actually speak about, I get into child's pose and I breathe. Right. And it's just so simple and accessible. Asana, meditate, breath work. Like you talk about all of it. And so I know that you are a new father. Is your daughter, how old is she?
She is 14 months now.
14 months. Blessings. God bless you guys on that journey. And we talked about in the beginning of this episode how your practice has adapted to your lifestyle. I would love to learn more about what parenthood, I'm not a parent, I'm a pet parent, but I would love to share this opportunity for you to share with other parents how knowing yourself has evolved as you have been getting to know this new being that you and your wife brought into the world.
Beautiful, beautiful. She brings so many teachings with her. So many gifts with her. As far as like knowing myself is really knowing myself in the likeness of that childlike joy, you know, knowing myself in the likeness of that carefreeness, knowing myself in the likeness of that openness and that vulnerability and that level of freedom that she has as a child. And so it has helped me see myself as a child of God more than anything. And so I can surrender a whole lot more to my life because I know that this life in the form of my little adorable daughter has come from some place that I had a part in creating, but I didn't fill up this person with so much intelligence. She's so smart, so much joy that I do not have, neither does our mother, so much enthusiasm that neither I personally don't have that level of enthusiasm. Her mom, she's touching it, but she's not messing with her daughter's enthusiasm. To know that there is a giver of this gift in the form of my daughter, in whom that I am also a child of as well. And so she allows me to receive myself as a child of God and just embody that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very difficult to explain because it's a level of embodying it. It's like you have to see it to mimic it, and to express it and to embody it. And it's not so much of what you think about or even what you feel about. It's just like beholding a light and knowing that I am also that light as well. And so it's like standing in front of a crystal or getting a sound bowl bath. It's like those vibrations, they just impress themselves on you such a way that you begin to feel different. You begin to think different. You begin to be different. And it's all because you have a pure vessel or a sound or a vibration or a channel in front of you that is projecting itself onto you and impressing itself onto you. And so my daughter, she helps me know myself more than anything as a child of God. And so I'm able to relax a little, even in parenting, I'm able to relax a little knowing that this child, even if it's your dog, knowing that, you know, you may not have the funds to take care of your dog this week, but there is, life has chosen you for the responsibility of taking care of that life. You know, and life just doesn't hand out responsibilities on a whim. Mm. You know, life says you are worthy of that responsibility. You know, the responsibility and the task of having a child, you know, or having a pet or having a home or having a car. You are worthy of all of your responsibilities, and they're not burdens. You know, they're something, they're tools that, not even tools, there are gifts in your life that keep given to your life. Mm. You know, so whether it's a dog or a parent, they show you so many things about yourself. They reveal on the daily so many things about yourself and your life and your growth and your expansion and your journey and how they were always a part of your life. Even in the past, they can, you know, just by their presence, they can show you that they were always a part of your story. Mm-hmm. You know, always a part of your journey. They were always tied to you in some sort of way. And now they're just in the physical. And so, my daughter has helped me know myself more than anything as a child of God.
Wow.
You know,
that's beautiful. And it's amazing to share that wisdom of some things that sometimes might be looked at as a burden. And just everything you've been talking about today has been just shifting narrative, shifting perspective.
Yeah.
Not that we think children are burdens, but just whatever you have that you're holding that might feel like it's a heavy load. How can you arrive with a different insight on that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just want to take a breath here with you. Thank you so very much for just sharing your wisdom, your insight, and journeying through the energy centers with us. Like telling your story through this lens is really powerful. And I know we barely even touched the surface. I want to open the floor for any final just words of encouragement or wisdom that you'd like to share with the GLOW listeners.
Ooh, put me on the spot, Dan. As it speaks to everything that we have discussed today, it's really going back to being present where you are, accepting your life for where you are, allowing yourself to feel whatever you feel, you know, and not push it away, honoring that journey, honoring those feelings, honoring, you know, those highs and those lows, and honoring everything that you are experiencing in the present moment. Honoring those things and allowing yourself to accept those things, to forgive the things that you need to forgive, you know, to extend love in the areas that you need to extend, both to yourself and others. And, you know, speaking life into your life, speaking life into your heart, speaking life into yourself, speaking life into your feelings and your emotions, speaking life into your present moment, wherever you are, speaking life into that. And then knowing that, you know, as you speak life, life responds to your life, you know, and life begins to interact with your words, you know, and life begins to adjust to your words and the things that you speak. And then you begin to know all that you are through just by speaking life, because you begin to arrive as the light. Because we only, when we begin to speak life, we speak positive things and radiant things and loving things over ourselves. And we are reaffirming ourselves are all that we are. And as we affirm ourselves at all that we are, we begin to know ourselves as that, all that we are. And then keeping up with the theme, resting in the crown, knowing that you are that, knowing that you are a child of God, you know, knowing that you are a child of the Most High, knowing that you are destined for greatness. You're not destined for failure. You're not destined for hurt or trauma. You're destined for greatness. You're destined for liberation and salvation. And so, walk into your destiny with that courage, with that bravery, with that fearlessness, with that level of feeling everything, because you won't be done feeling. There's still more to feel, even as you rise, even as you climb, even as you ascend to the highest chakras in the body. There's still more to feel, because you then begin to feel more of things outside of yourself as well. You begin to feel the collective karma and trauma experience as well. And so then you begin to really know who you truly are, as the everything and everything. And so that was a lot to reflect on, but keeping up with the theme, going back down to the root, raising you back up, traveling through those centers with the words and with affirmations and with just that little spiel right there is, arriving every day in your power, arriving every day in your power.
Thank you for arriving every day in your power, and for just extending liberation to all those you touch. You carry an essence of peace with you. And again, seeing someone hold that peace and have that peace, it affirms the accessibility to it within all of us. Thank you for creating tools from your written works to your audio works, just to anytime you speak or perform is a gift to share with the world. And I'm so grateful to be a student of yours, to be a fan, and again, to have this space with you. I have so much gratitude for these moments that we got to share. And yes. I'm just sending you the highest vibration of love and just abundance and peace over your life. It is such a gift, again, as a Black woman to see, and just all humans, to see all humans thriving, but to see Black men walking in their power, where they belong, is amazing. So thank you for being that light for us.
Give thanks for the gratitude and appreciation. And I give thanks for your platform, allowing me to, hold space on your platform to shine my light, you know, to glow on the Glow platform. So I'm so blessed and honored to, you know, be exposed to your beautiful audience, because, you know, like attracts like, and like is attracted to like. So I'm so grateful to be introduced to your community. So grateful to be introduced to you as the radiant soul that you are, just through your words and your intrigue. I can tell that you're very in tune. So thank you for being the radiant light that you are. And thank you for shining your light for all to see on your platform. And thank you for choosing to stand in your personal power and light many hearts and light many souls of fire, you know, with the love for their souls as well.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so very much. We will absolutely amplify your work and all the places that we can find you. That's going to include the Eternal Sunshine app. It's a free app filled with just light and liberation and affirmations, meditations. You can find Londrell's music anywhere you listen to music. They're on YouTube as well. You're on IG, you do live performances. Can you share with us your IG handle, your website, and just like anything that's upcoming that you're excited about and inspired to share at this time?
So my website is www.londrell.com. Love. You can find updates on performances that are nearest to you. You can also sign up to my newsletter for insider information to albums and music and all things that come from me, the brand as Lundrell. You can find me on Instagram at Lundrell, Facebook at Lundrell, X, I believe they call it now, at Lundrell, Threads at Lundrell, everywhere at Lundrell, YouTube at Lundrell. And I'm excited about a show that I have in June in Brooklyn. Tickets are sold out, but it's my own personal curated event, Lundrell Live and Unplugged. So you get the music, you also get the practices and the stories that help incorporate, help inspire the music and help testify to the music. So you get me in my rawest form in those spaces. So I'm excited to be in Brooklyn, New York, on June 7th for that that offering, that ceremonial offering. I will be around the globe, around the world, all throughout the year. So please do sign up to my website and my newsletter to be informed of where I might appear or may appear, because it's very spontaneous and it's not too much. It's in the most random places. So do tap in, do tune in. And I look forward to meeting you all wherever we meet in the present moment.
Thank you. Well, I look forward to you randomly popping up in Los Angeles, maybe manifesting that, or I'm going to have to travel.
October 9th through 12th, I will be at an event we did last year with Janae, because she couldn't make it, but Layla, she will be there again. Dr. Sue Mortar, she will be there, and Geraldine Glass. So Sound Healers Convention almost. It's a vibration. The vibration experience will be happening in Los Angeles. So that's a wave of intelligence, wisdom, science, philosophy, practice. Very powerful beings coming into one place to not teach, but to be present with, to teach as well, to guide as well, but to be present with other people who are really charging up on the energy, on the vibrations, who are really opening up the channels. So very powerful group. Networking thing going on in October at the Vibration Experience.
I'm excited. I will be there. Consider me in the front row. what we need for Libra season, okay? Just bringing peace and beauty and balance to all of us.
Yeah.
Lundrell, bless you. Thank you for your journey. Thank you for your light and for your time on this platform. You are a gift, a miracle expressed. And just thank you for reminding us who we are as a gift and a miracle expressed as well. Sending you so much love. Thank you.
Thank you. Love to you as well. Many thanks. Many thanks and blessings.
Thank you to our entire team behind the scenes at GLOW. I'm so grateful for your care and commitment to serving our members around the world. Thank you to our teachers for so beautifully sharing your gifts and talents. I'm also grateful to our lovely community of GLOW members. You've supported us since 2008, and because of you, we get to continue to do the work we love. It's the combined support of our team, our teachers, and our community that grants me the privilege to continue to bring you the GLOW podcast. Thank you to Lee Schneider at Red Cub Agency for production support. And the beautiful music you're hearing now is by Carrie Rodriguez and her husband, Luke Jacobs. And remember, take care of yourself because our world needs you. Thank you for coming on this journey with me. You can find the GLOW podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or glo.com/podcast, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. I'm Derek Mills.